always about the show, bro.
Guru till I die. It's all Guru all the time.
He deserved it.
It's the Guru, Tiny Guru, Tiny Guru, Tiny Show. Let's go.
All righty. Hey, the Freedman's Fall Clearance Sale. It starts today, and it's the best time to save on new appliances for your home. At Freedman's Appliance, 2304 Monument Boulevard, Pleasant Hill. It starts 50 minutes ago. 10 o'clock it started, from 10 to 7 today, and then tomorrow and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5, you can take advantage of factory direct prices, one-of-a-kind opportunities, special pricing on floor models, and convenient financing. You can save on all the new appliances from trusted brands, Miele, Bosch, Electrolux, LG, Maytag, and we will be there, 95.7 The Game, tomorrow from 12 to 3. Spadone and Lubman will be broadcasting live. Jim Cozumore with a special guest appearance at 1. And I'm going to be hanging out there at noon for a couple hours. I'm going to jump on with the boys.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a lot of fun. If you've never been out to Freedman's, you got to get there. It's a totally cool place. Unbelievable store. There'll be food. There'll be drinks.
Yay!
There'll probably be music. There'll be a lot of fun activities. And I'll be there from 12 to 2. So come out and say hello. Good. You going to make it out?
We'll see. Yeah, no, I got some things to do.
What?
Just some things around the Johnson Kingdom. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is Dana coming with you? Because you know you roll. That's your guy, your security.
I may have another partner at tomorrow's event.
Oh, I know them?
Yeah, you know.
Hey.
Yeah.
Who?
Well, why don't you come by and see?
All right, I'll text Spadoni.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you on Monday who I showed up with.
Right.
Hey, we were talking about the Patriots and 49ers. 49ers, big favorites. And I just got to thinking, your Cowboys played last night. They played a team. They played a team that stinks. They won, 20 to 15?
Yeah. Spread was 6. Neighbors hurt.
Okay, so... Yeah. As a Cowboy fan, was that enough for you last night?
As bad as the defense has been, the run defense, Donnie, they were stout. And again, it was the Giants. What did you say Evan said this morning? The NFL is drunk, so I'm done style pointing. And that's what J-Dog's doing with New York. Like, it's about the wins right now, especially if you're dealing with things outside of your control, like injuries. So I say all that to say is that win was suffice for me. I'm not nitpicking. Like you said, and I hate it. Is this really preseason? Is that what we're watching from NFL teams through week 4? Now, obviously, they're trying to win, but man, there's a long way to go, man.
So, are you willing to give
teams?
No, give me your word and give the Bay Area your word that if the San Francisco 49ers win on Sunday by any means necessary,
let's say 4. A last-minute field goal, 3.
10-9. We're going to come in here and say, needed it. Good job by the Niners. Back to 500.
No, we'll talk about what we discussed, but they are so hurt and injured that's bigger than anything that can happen on the football field, Steiny. And I got to throw this to you. I know it's not the day, but it's out there. McCaffrey, when do you think we'll see him if we see him at all? See, that's I think that's the rat on the table every week that comes and goes. And he's in Germany roaming the streets looking for the antidote. I need it. Inject me.
Well,
I'm just wondering.
I got a theory. But I need 49er fans to either prove it or disprove it. And it's... What am I thinking? I lost my train of thought.
It's a theory.
Yeah, but I lost my train of thought.
It's 49er fans. 60. It's about McCaffrey.
60.
It's about McCaffrey.
Oh, I know what it was.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't feel like, and because I haven't really done it too. I know the 49ers have had some injuries, and obviously McCaffrey's a big one, Debo's a big one. But I don't feel like 49er fans are using that as any kind of excuse.
Oh, no, I get you.
For example, I think under a different circumstance, maybe if this team hadn't had the success it's had for the last 4 or 5 years, that we would view this differently. But I feel like nobody's given the 49ers any kind of pass, even though they are hurt.
That's real.
I think it's because they're considered Super Bowl favorites in the NFC, and that... 49er fans believe, even with the injuries, they've got more talent than most of the teams. And I'm wondering if, are we being a little too harsh with the 49ers start, considering that they are hurt early in the season?
Okay, man, that's phenomenal.
888-957-9570.
That's phenomenal. And the first words out of my mouth to that question, Stoney, was going to be, well, most of the injuries, all the injuries are on the offensive side of the ball. But the reality is, no, this team misses Greenlaw. So the question I have, and the answer I think I have through three games, is they don't have anything to lean on at the linebacker position like they do other positions, when you can look at Ayuk and you can look at Kittle and Deebo when they play, and now maybe a rising star, if you allow me to call Mason that, on the offensive side along with Brock Purdy. But that's not the problem to me, the offense. I do not like a McCaffrey-less 49er offense that's had the ball in two back-to-back games with the ability to go down the offense, go down the field and score, and they have not been able to do that. That's for another day, but those are facts. But the bottom line is this defense does not look like a playoff defense. I know you have some sound from defensive coordinator Sorensen. I haven't heard it. I can't wait to hear it. But Stoney, that's what's having me up at night, if I'm a diehard Niner fan, is this who we really are? And if it is, what the hell happened? And Stoney, call Kaiser or find out when Greenlaw's coming back, if at all.
See, you know what?
That's your reality.
No. See, that I don't think you can do. I think that's a dangerous game to play. And I'm trying to balance it. Greenlaw obviously is a big part of this defense. But can you really say, well, when Greenlaw comes back,
ooh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, who knows
right.
how he'll be? And I just think it's not dangerous, but I just think it could be a little premature to just say, well, when they get Greenlaw back, he's the key to the defense. So when Greenlaw comes back, then they're going to be a really good defense. But it's all Greenlaw. I don't know if you can put it all on Greenlaw.
No, I know.
And think that this team's going to fundamentally change when he gets back, though he should help.
Well, let's put another right on the table.
Let's do it.
Brought to you by Adco on Payday Friday, Stoney. 97 did not have the greatest. Bosa. He did not have the greatest postseason nor Super Bowl. If somebody wanted to go to a whiteboard and talk about how he crashed down but was pointing fingers at his D coordinator, I'm all ears. But the bottom line is, how long are we going to wait for him to forget a sack total? Only dummies concentrate on sack totals. We're talking about being disruptive. At what juncture do we say he needs help with the scheme and that person's name is Sorensen, or is this the Bosa they're going to get? At what point do you get concerned? Because if you're telling me, and you know what, I think you're on Wright Street in regard to expectations and putting it all on, hey, when Greenlaw runs back out there, it'll be all fine. I'm starting to worry about the best player on your defense, and I love you, Fred Warner, but the best player supposedly on that defense is 97. How do you get him going? Because he's out there. And Stoney, they're running at him. And in crunch time, I don't see him enough for my liking.
It doesn't seem like he's making impact plays yet this season. But I got to find, because this was Wednesday, I believe. This is going to... Oh, okay. This is going to...
Because Ice on the chat is saying, Goo, you're wrong.
Yeah,
and others agreeing with me.
How about this? This is from Matt Barrett. This was on Wednesday.
Okay.
Because I remember now Evan and I talked about it. Matt Barrows did... Let me tell you something. Matt Barrows does a weekly mailbag, and it is chock full of information. And I don't... It's funny because, writers write stories all the time, and they're great stories, and you get a lot of information, but... I'm not sure there's anything more informative than a mailbag. And listen to this question that Matt Barrow's got.
Okay.
Watching Nick Bosa, he's been very very pedestrian compared to players of his ilk, like T.J. Watt and Max Crosby. What gives? He's just doing the same outside rush with a spin move, no counters, no bull rush, no attacking the inside.
That's what I've been telling you.
Okay, so Matt Barrow says... Okay.
Oh, that's the person typing in.
Yeah, that was the question. So Matt Barrow's answer is, okay, let me give you some numbers.
All right.
Sacks, quarterback hits.
I'm writing it down.
And quarterback pressures.
Okay.
Three different numbers.
Sack, quarterback hits, and pressures.
TJ Watt, he's pretty good, right?
Man.
He's got three sacks, five quarterback hits, and eight quarterback pressures.
Wow. 3, 5, and 8.
Max Crosby, three sacks, two hits, and 11 pressures.
Okay.
All right, now Nick Bosa.
Oh, here we go, Steiny.
Two sacks, three hits.
Okay.
12 pressures.
Okay.
And Barrow says, is Bosa off to a burning hot start? No. But he's not lagging either. He's not lagging either.
I'll tell you this, because we love Matty B.
Matt Barrows, he's a big boy.
But hey.
Are you coming down his road?
No, I'm going to come down Bosa's road.
Challenge you?
No, I'm saying, Steiny, what did Norm say? Worry about what's going on in your own house. And we're watching the Niner games in certain situations when Stafford's dropping back to pass to hit 2-2 at will. And that's when I'm not seeing Bosa. So I love the information. I get where he's going, but if that's what it's been condensed to tell people Bosa's doing all right, then something's wrong, Matt. Because, and I ain't talking to you, I'm talking to Matty B.
Oh.
Because we're watching these games play out, and more often than not, the money downs and money time, he's not getting home. So if we got to do this arithmetic to justify Bosa, that's a problem to me, Stoddy.
Well, he's got more quarterback pressures than Crosby or Watt.
Yeah. And maybe they got more help on their D-line than Bosa has, too, to defend Bosa.
Here's my question, because it's somebody on the – and by the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. What I just threw out there, you know, are we being a little too harsh, maybe, on the Niners, because – they have been hurt, and maybe we're not giving them enough of the benefit of the doubt. And YouTube chat said, well, we're definitely being too harsh about Brandon Ayuk right now. And so I just got to thinking, who, if there are players we're being unfair to, who are we being the most unfair to in terms of blame with this 1-2 start? I could make a case that maybe it's Bosa, that people are coming down Bosa's road.
Because of his lack of other guys doing something on the D-line?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how much of it is Bosa. How much of it is Ayuk? How much of it is Sorensen?
Do you even
put the defensive coordinator in that group? How much is responsible?
Was a pinata last year for the Niner fans after that was week 6, I think you said, Minnesota game. But we're rapidly approaching that, and if this defense does not get better, when do we start hearing his name? There's no race card involved.
Well,
it's just he could have been blue, Wilkes. He was under pressure, and that team went to the Super Bowl, top 5 by the numbers, and had a good Super Bowl. So I don't understand why we're not hearing just the possibility that it could be the new coordinators, Donnie.
Well, listen,
handpicked by Kyle.
Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you, because Evan said something very similar. He said to me before the show, he goes, "I feel like the defense hasn't been great, but we haven't heard Nick Sorensen's name."
Wow, man!
And remember, Steve Wilkes, blah 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 blah. And I actually don't agree with that. I feel like Steve Wilkes, his name wasn't even mentioned. We didn't even know who he was until the Minnesota game.
And then they wanted him downstairs.
Week
6 on Monday night, the all-out blitz before half.
They started out 5-0 last year.
Beat the crap out of Dallas Sunday night, and it went bad.
They started out 5-0, then they lost to, I can't remember if Minnesota was the first loss in that 3 straight or not, but the point is, you know, we were into week 6, maybe into the midseason before Wilkes became an issue.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
I feel like Sorensen's already an issue.
But we
were not talking about Steve Wilkes 3 weeks into last year.
But they were 1-2.
Well, that's my point. So
and they didn't look this porous against the run and the pass.
That's my point. Is Sorensen is taking heat far earlier than
Wilkes. But I don't feel like there's any volume to that heat.
Don't you?
I do. Yeah. Stove pilot was on high for Wilkes. I mean, Stoddy.
But not till the middle of the season.
Sim. Like, you know, when you go put that stove on Sim, boy, and you just turn it on. That I'm with Evan on that. Like, I'm not hearing it, 49er but I'm watching
fans. 49er fans, where are you on that? Like, I do feel like Sorensen's name is coming up a lot.
Are you? I don't feel that.
Evan.
No.
Well, Evan's not here. That's why I brought it up. So we can't go to him.
Yeah, Spadoni?
Spadone? Any thoughts on that? I feel like we're talking about Sorensen.
I'm not bringing up race. I just don't hear his name at Spadoni at all.
Well, because remember, guys, when they went on that 3-game losing streak last year, they were what? 6-0 already?
5-0 after they beat Dallas.
I mean, we're already 3 weeks into the season and they're 1-2.
But the defense looks this bad. It never looked this bad that early with Wilkes.
That's why it's
so early. Where are the Jackals?
Well, if you're listening to the pregame show and morning show, the morning roast, there have been a surprisingly good number of callers coming out, Nick Sorensen.
I kind of feel the same. And obviously a lot has to do with, they started 5-0 last year. This year they're 1-2. I don't feel like Sorensen's skating. I feel like
I would love, Stoddy, for us to, like, what's his stilo in regard to what's he saying? This sound we have, I'm curious to how, what's he blaming it on? Or what's he saying is not happening for his unit?
Well, I want to know if Niner fans,
because it is defective,
buy into that. I feel like Sorensen's getting heat.
See that?
Do 49er fans like feel the same way, or do they feel like, we scapegoated Wilkes last year and Sorensen's skating?
See, I mean,
it's still early too. So
Christy Yamaguchi, I was thinking of a great skater. Yeah, from Washington.
Oh, okay.
And I know her brother Brett. We do.
Yeah.
What up, B?
Yeah, great guy. All right, let's listen to Nick Sorensen, but I do want to hear from 49er fans about if you thought Steve Wilkes was a problem last year, do you think Nick Sorensen could be more of a problem this year? I feel like people are already starting to lean doubting Sorensen way before and almost just as critically as Wilkes, but I'd love to hear what you say at 888-957-9570. But here's Nick Sorensen on what's going on with his defense.
I think it's a culmination. It hasn't really ever been one thing or one coverage. It's kind of been a culmination of things, and it just hasn't been good enough overall. You know, it's not one person. Like I said, it's just be a little better here, a little better there. As always, I always look at myself first, and I should. I mean, it's my defense and I'm the coordinator, but I take responsibility of that. And I think we just all feel that way. That's a cool thing. All us coaches, we got to coach better, and players feel that challenge as well for themselves.
Yeah. Give them time. Say 3 games in and figure some stuff out.
Where's Staley at? What's he doing? He's supposed to be eyes in the sky.
Well, as Evan said, he's like the backup quarterback.
Oh, right.
Everybody's you can stop best asking friend. That question. You don't have to ask that again.
What everybody's great, best friend, Stoddy, the backup QB.
And now, apparently for this team, the backup defensive coordinator.
I am curious, with that point spread, New England, like, I'm with the Niners. Like, you got to expect 30-7, right?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Or a stout performance by the defense. Because if we don't get it from that, then we come in here Monday, like, again, it'll be the first 4 games of the season. If not now, when, though?
Well, I'll tell you this. If you're telling me the line's 10,
good God,
I'm telling you right now, if the 49ers win 20-10, we'll be saying, uh-oh, something going on with their offense? 20 points against that team? If they win 30-20... people will say, well, defense still gave up 20 to that terrible Patriots team. Wow. And God forbid it's 40-30. Even though they would have covered on each of the 3 games. But, I mean, 49er fans, where are you with Nick Sorensen? Do you think this is going to be a big problem, Nick Sorensen? Or do you expect the defense to get better? Mm. What do you think? You're not sure and you got to wait and see what happens.
I'm more pessimistic than I am optimistic because I don't think Fred Dean or Ronnie Lott is walking through that door. So now it's about scheme it up. But you could scheme it up to a degree in the league, right? And if Bosa's out there and you got Fred Warner, I know, Stoney, that's a short sample size, but the fact that the whipping boy Hargrave is no longer even an option, and you looked at me like, goo, you used to criticize him. Yeah, because on a good day, he can be disruptive, and he's done it, and he's paid handsomely. But now you're telling me the defense was underperforming with him? And now you're going into this game against Mayo's team, the first-year coach. I'm like, wow, I can't wait to see how he schemes that up or who the replacement is, because you alluded to, well, goo, if player A's not doing much, then you're really not missing him when he's gone. Okay, or the backup can be so bad that it's worse.
Couple from the Xfinity Mobile text line. 650, Wilkes's optics were worse because he was upstairs in the booth. People didn't like that.
Mm.
From the 510, we are only talking about Sorensen because of Wilkes. We are now more impatient. That's what I believe.
Well, that's a good point.
I think the 510 kind of hit something on the head there. And then another one from the 510, defensive personnel last year was way better.
Let's talk about that. You had Greenlaw. You had Hufanga before he got hurt. So, I mean, just with the Greenlaw right there, okay, you win.
Okay, well,
what are you going to do?
Okay, well, I'll take the other side. What are you killing him for? They don't have Greenlaw.
But I'm the guy that kept telling you all year long, but they were loaded. They were loaded defensively, so we thought, right? You got Fred Warner. He'll hold it down.
But if they have no Greenlaw...
But you got Bosa in 54.
But now,
and Lenore and
but
Ward.
Now everybody's saying, not everybody, yeah, but people are saying that Greenlaw looks like he's the key to this defense. And when he and Warner can play together, it's an entirely different type of defense.
That I believe it helps.
Well, then give the guy Sorensen a break.
But even as linebackers, Stoney, because that's what they hold down, that doesn't make up for what was not going on up front in regard to the pass rush or their lack of.
See, here's what I'm getting at. This is what I'm going to throw at 49er fans from the 510. Greenlaw's a game changer. Well, if Greenlaw's a game changer, then give this defense a little bit of time, a little bit of a break. That's all.
Yeah.
And I'm playing devil's advocate. I'll admit it. 6-5-0. This is a good one. Steiny, what if the Niners win 10-0?
Well, then you'd be happy.
Would you?
Oh, dude, I'm 9,000% more concerned about the D than the O.
Okay, but I'll tell you right
now,
if it's 10-0,
this game,
people will say, well, that offense stunk. Meaning the Patriots offense stinks. You should shut them out, but how did we only get 10 against New England?
Wow.
All right, 888-957-9570. We're going to jump into some calls on the other side, but do you think Nick Sorensen has taken the right amount of criticism? I feel like we're already, examining him more than we did Steve Wilkes.
But there hadn't been one article written in any Bay paper about him.
Oh, I'm going to go look.
Okay.
I'm going to go look during the break, because I'm going to look for Sorensen in the headlines. Hey, don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with Evan Giddings and Jason Dumas, 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay, presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com.
Hey, Spadoni, shut up!
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
49ers Patriots Sunday, Levi Stadium, 105.
Must you know where you're watching? You know, that's my question each week.
So,
you're golfing.
I'm golfing early.
Oh, okay, got
7 in the morning, so I'll be done. But, you know, some of you may know that I turned 6. And you know what I'm realizing?
He's too old.
Thank you.
He's
my guy who's, Dana.
Yeah.
I usually will go over and watch a lot of
the game. Been open this year, the streets are saying.
He has not opened the backyard a lot. And you know what happens when you get to be my age, like he is you, your priorities change. He goes back to Milwaukee to see his family.
It's a wrap.
Can you believe that? Guy goes back to see his family.
So I actually texted him and said, when are you back? Because this is week four, and he hasn't had his opener yet. His season opener at the crib.
Do you know? Did you get any new intel?
Let me see.
When it might open? I know that's killing you.
Let me see.
But he's got priorities, Tony.
No, nope, he hasn't answered me yet.
Wow.
So, but hopefully I'll be over at his house.
All right.
We're talking about Nick Sorensen and how much blame he's getting and whether it's enough or whether it's not enough and how he's running this defense after three games.
Because can we agree real quick that this is the biggest issue for the Niners? Forget 1-2. The defense is not up to par. Let's put all right. The offense, hey, we got excuses galore. If you even need to go to that. Come on, Stoddy. Defensively, what can you write home about?
19. So they lost. They won 32-19. Then week two, they lost to Minnesota.
But please add 10 more points to Minnesota's total.
I won't.
The Fred Warner Super Play Heroes, come on. They got gas. They should add 10 more points.
What is it, 19? They gave up the first week. This is a defense that still has not given up 30 in a game.
See, but that's how where bad you're paralyzed by paralysis by analysis. Numbers lie sometimes.
Only giving up about 24 a game.
Yeah.
That's all.
But when they've had to stop teams, what's happened?
Yeah.
Two at will.
Situational stops they need to get a little bit better at. Let's go out to Keith. Keith is in L.A., wants to talk about Nick Sorensen, the newest scapegoat. What's up, Keith?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
I think the heat he's taking is warranted, mainly because Nick Sorensen doesn't have any skins on the wall.
Mm.
Okay, he hasn't proven anything. Nobody knows what to expect from him. Nobody even knows whether he's good or not. And the defense has underperformed tremendously.
Yep.
So quite naturally, they're going to look at him because he hasn't proven anything.
What do you think?
As a side note,
go ahead. No, as a side note, I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. As a side note, go ahead.
As a side note, Nick Sorensen, he sucked as a player. Now, normally that wouldn't matter to me because there's a lot of marginal players that have been good coaches. But he wasn't very instinctive as a player.
Interesting.
Wow. Hate that as a head coach. I watched him with the Rams very closely, and I watched him in KC. He sucked.
Wow, it's time to a report card.
Appreciate it, Keith.
Oh, Nick the player.
Well, that's crazy considering he never played for Kansas City.
Oh.
Hey.
Get off. We love you, Keith. Spadoni from the top row.
Spadoni brought up a good point.
Yeah, he did.
That may be playing into this. Is
pregame show, 5 a.m.
Yes, sir. Steve Wilks was an outsider. They hired him from outside the organization, and he had to adjust to the 49er system. Sorensen's been there. He should probably know more about this defense than Wilks did when he came in last year. And I feel like one of the reasons that Sorensen was hired was because he was already in the organization and had a big-time familiarity with the players. So I think that's part of it, too. Maybe if you think Sorensen's not getting the criticism he deserves, maybe it is because Wilks took more heat because he was an outsider. People knew who he was, but he wasn't part of the quote-unquote 49er family. And maybe Sorensen's getting a little more patience given to him from the fans because he is a 49er guy and has been.
Well, I don't know how to look at the Wilks era as a zero, especially, again, top five when it comes to numbers and stats, collectively, the defense. They have a pretty damn good showing to me in the Super Bowl, put you in position to win. So with that said, Stoney, right now I feel like it's Kyle's 0-2. And I'm not saying this year's a failure because it's two – It's really too soon, but damn it, it's off to a slow start. And then this is what I mean. I'm looking at Strato Man Big Fingers. Sorensen is not on the field either. Players have to step up. Okay, if that's how you feel, all I'm telling y'all, Steiny, is that was not something that Wilkes could do at any point last year. Blame it on the players.
The morning show had Eric Crocker, who's got a great YouTube channel, yeah. SF Niners. And listen to what he said. Are we scapegoating the wrong guy? Take a listen to what Eric Crocker said earlier this week.
I don't think he's doing anything different. I think he's doing the same thing they did and is listening to Kyle Shanahan. I think Kyle Shanahan's the real defensive coordinator.
Really?
All right. I think Kyle's the defensive coordinator. Kyle brought in Wilkes and said, this is the defense I want you to run. I want you to run it like that. That's the same thing he did with Robert Saleh. Like, he went, found Robert Saleh because he knew that defense. He went after one guy, couldn't get him, then said, okay, let's get Robert Saleh. Robert, this is the defense I want you to play. You know it. You understand it. Let's build a team around that. And then they have transitioned into more of a two-high team over the years. Mm-hmm. But when they went and got Wilkes, it was with the thought of, this is the type of defense I want you to run. If I'm not mistaken, he sits in on some of these meetings, gets guys to understand, hey, this is how I would attack it. This is what you should do, et cetera. I think he's kind of the key piece in how well this is the defense has been.
That was interesting. Even surprised Chasky and Bonte with that one.
Yeah, that's a lightweight bombshell. Now, I do vividly remember he didn't like late in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Do you remember when Kyle called a timeout?
Yeah.
To me, that's undressing a defensive coordinator.
For the second time.
Okay, but this is in the game. But how do we know if there's anything to that? Because we've never heard anything remotely close. Like, I'm blown away hearing that. Wow.
Well, if you think about it, it does kind of make sense. If Steve Wilkes came in and was running a different kind of defense, and Kyle said, no, we run this defense, then isn't it Kyle's defense? And maybe Wilkes was more reluctant to run it. Now Sorensen's running it more like Kyle wanted or has a better grasp of all the nuances of it. I don't know what the answer is, but I just thought that was very interesting. Eric Crocker saying, look, this is, Sorensen's just running Kyle's defense.
Well, it can't be that, because then Wilkes wouldn't have been fired.
Well, maybe Kyle didn't think Wilkes was knowledgeable enough with the defense Kyle wanted, and maybe he thought Wilkes just didn't have the grasp that somebody like Sorensen, who's been there for a few years, might have.
Now, I wonder if a reporter would ask Kyle, not that Eric said it, are you running the defense, how he would respond to that.
I think he'd probably say something like, well, I mean, whether I am or I'm not, I'm responsible for all aspects of this football team and stuff.
But I'm talking about installing the D, Stani.
Yeah,
he's got too much going on with his offense to be calling the defense.
Well, I don't know if it's a matter of calling the defense, but I think he wants the defensive coordinator to implement the nuts and bolts of something I think that he believes in and he likes and he wants to try to execute.
I hadn't heard that.
This is stuff that's tricky to figure out. But I'm interested to know where Niner fans come down on it. With, is it Sorensen? Is it Kyle? Is it the players? What specifically is the biggest issue?
The play
with the defense.
Is it
the defensive line? Is it the linebackers? Is it the D-backs? Or do you just say, you know what? It's all linked and it's all three levels, as they say.
No, it has to be, right? Because you just can't point to one unit. But what do they say? A secondary's best friend is a pass rush. And right now, anybody that has a set of eyes knows this is not good enough. This is why I know it's 10 and we keep focusing on it. And I think it can be a walk in the park for the Niners. But, Stani, I thought Minnesota was going to be a walk in the park. It's just me. I thought the Rams, my neighbor went in big, thought it was going to be a walk in the park. Thinking, okay, 7, this is nothing. So this is really the walk in the park. But is it if your defense can be had?
Well,
Stevenson can run the rock. I'm just saying for the Patriots.
But see, this is the way I look at it, is the first three games, they haven't been good. Okay? Do you think they're going to get better defensively or make some changes or tweaks, let's say, against the Patriots? Or do you think they're going to continue to, I don't know, just play defense where they're, it just doesn't seem like they are, you know, being proactive, let's say, on defense. Okay. They're being more reactive. That's what it feels like sometimes. Mike is in Livermore. He wants to talk about Nick Sorensen. What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
Good, good. Hey, happy belated birthday, Steiny.
Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, I'm 65, so Steiny, it only gets better, my friend.
There you
go. Don't you worry about it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, so let's put the route on the table.
Yes.
I think he's getting way too much heat. You know, it's not his fault that Bosa can't get to the quarterback or our defensive backs are getting burned and falling and slipping. So you can't put the blame on him. Well, you know, like you said, what, they're scoring 24 points a game? You know, that's not too shabby for the NFL. So, you know, I'm putting it, you know, the rat on the table, and I'm putting it on the players. And Steiny, this is your favorite saying. They're getting too old, and they're getting slower.
Well, he felt that.
Hey, Mike, thanks. I mean, that's what it looks like. Oh, I know what I wanted to say about your interesting use of a phrase. And this is kind of, you know, this is where you and I sometimes have a fundamental difference, but it's what we love about each other.
I can't wait to hear what you're doing.
It's one of the reasons.
Guru playbook. Which phrase, Donnie?
I expected a walk in the park against Minnesota. I expected a walk in the park against the Rams. This is the NFL,
Vegas.
There are no walks in the park
and that's what I think.
Okay. And so, like, here's what I first thought of when you said, well, I expected those first two games to be a walk in the park. Okay, well, maybe they're not as good as they have been in the past, and there will be no walks in the park this year. Mm. Or they aren't playing well. They're going to get it together, and then they're going to reimpose that dominant defense that we all expect when they're clicking. I don't know what the answer is, but when do you decide whether a team is underachieving or whether a team is not that good anymore?
Well, for me, it's a few things.
Okay.
The injury report. How long you're going to be without said player, if that player's even coming back, and what's your reality? Are you whole and still kind of underperforming? That's where it's kind of, yeah, it's the easiest part, right? You're just like, okay, we get it together. We kind of lag in preseason. But right now, with the injuries to the offense, it bothers me from a Niner standpoint that the injuries aren't on the other side of the ball, because that would be kind of a perfect storm to where you could just say and point your finger, oh, that's why. But right now, and you're right, I've been Mr. Consistent about Greenlaw all off season. So why am I more concerned about the D when really that could be my answer? Greenlaw. But Stoney, I think it's more nuanced than that. The pass rush, Greenlaw is not on the D-line. So it's got to be more than that.
Kyle needs to keep the same energy he kept with Steve Wilkes, says the 415.
Man,
And maybe he will. Maybe he's waiting until week six did last year to undress the guy. Daryl in Oakland. What's up, Daryl? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. Happy birthday, Stein.
Thank you.
So, you know, in training camp, I was focused on, you know, what rookies in particular are standing out.
Okay.
And there was two. There was two rookies. One of them was Pooney. We've seen Pooney. He's awesome.
Right.
And we heard about him in training camp. On defense, we've also heard about a guy. And we need him now. Malik Mustafa was talked about almost daily as being a stud. Where the heck is this guy? And I don't know who these safeties are, but they're kind of garbage, in my opinion, the ones that are starting right now.
Man.
Malik Mustafa, I want to see this guy already. Look, we're missing Trey Greenlaw. He was a stud in college. Malik Mustafa was an ultra stud. Where the hell is this guy? And I guess I will blame Nick Sorensen. Open up your eyes. Are you like, is he like Kyle Shanahan with quarterbacks? You have to throw him out there until he's like, oh, that guy's good. Yeah, figure it out, bro. Malik Mustafa, let's go.
All right, appreciate the call. Of course, he made that big stop in that big exhibition game.
Well, you missed a tackle on the punt return, but yeah. So I don't know what to do. I just know right now it's not good in the Niner backfield. So if I'm the Pats And I'm trying to plan of attack, Donnie. And if you're telling me Brissett's going to get time, oh, my God, it's a coin flip. So hopefully they shore that up. But, you know, you're right. We did hear Mustafa's name all offseason. And the way that the starting safeties are playing right now, I don't think it's far-fetched to have a caller call in and say, okay, I want to change. And we may see that. We've seen guys get benched during this season for a couple series in the secondary and then come back in the game.
You know, we had a caller a couple days ago. I'm kind of with him. I'm not going to overreact until the first quadrant of the schedule's over.
Who gave that to you?
I can't remember.
Was it a reporter?
No.
It was somebody yesterday, and you just jacked him for it.
Absolutely a caller. No, but he's listen, if we're gonna say that because the 49ers and a lot of teams don't take the exhibition season seriously and they use these games more of preseason type, well, then let's hang on. Let's hang on and not make drastic statements. More Nick Sorensen. This is on what are we going to do without Javon Hargrave?
One, he's a great player, but he's had an awesome camp and awesome offseason, and really that game he was playing really, really good too. So it's tough because he's such a good player. I mean, this is a time when guys have to step up. I know it's cliche, but the league is littered with guys that have been backups and get their chance and play really well. It's just understanding who we're losing. It's going to be a tough shoes to fill, but guys have to step up.
Step up.
That's sad. Next man up.
Step up.
Yep.
Who's got to step up?
What was Dibs?
Step up.
I'll call it theory. What did he say a couple days ago to us, you, Willard, and myself, about if he could sell you 10-7 and you get to the playoffs? I know today it's the upper edge of New England. I get that. But is that where we're going? Because at some point we're going to get past, Donnie, if you want to hang your hat, and I'm not saying you are. Hey, it's just the fourth game. It's really preseason. Nah, I don't like that. That's not reality. The reality is you are injured. You don't know when a couple guys are coming back, and I'm bringing up McCaffrey and Greenlaw, but you got a game to go win Sunday, and right now this defense, I feel confident to say, porous, so that's exciting enough for me Sunday just to see if the Patriots, as impotent as their offense is, can they be successful kind of running the ball, controlling the clock, and kind of, you know, just exciting because you don't know.
Apparently, Grandpa Daddy used that.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That, he did.
Used the quadrant.
He
used
did.
The quadrant phrase. Nick Sorensen needs to go up to the booth. Okay, we're gonna have more of that. But no, what Dibley said the other day was Operation 10-7 Wild Card,
and that's taking everything into account. The whole jambalaya.
McCaffrey. Debo Samuel, first-year coordinator, Dre Greenlaw missing half the year, all that kind of stuff. He said the goal now is 10-7 wild card. And I said, I'm not there yet.
I'm not either.
Now, if they lose to the Patriots, yes. Then, to me, it's like I would take 10-7 in a heartbeat if you're going to start the year 1-3.
But if you can lose three in a row and to the likes of the Patriots and the Rams as beat up as they were, then you would have earned that wild card.
Exactly.
And so just from that standpoint, this season has been you've gone the wrong way.
Yeah, and this is...
Because you were number one seed last year.
Well, that was last year.
See?
I need that Lynch sound.
Hey, Tim.
Being a Super Bowl contender is earned.
Oh, look at him. He's licking, too.
Yeah. Nick Sorensen, more on the inconsistency of the defense. Take a listen.
It is frustrating at times. I mean, because sometimes it's really good. It's just, I think stuff's been kind of inconsistent all around. You know, sometimes the run game, we hit it up really good or we get pressure. I think overall, I just think we have high expectations. We all do. Players, the coaches, myself, we all understand how it's supposed to look here. And I think it's not one thing. We just consistently got to get better.
All right. So it's been a little of this and a little of that.
Yeah.
He's not singling out any necessarily position group, but there have been breakdowns by certain players, certain groups, and it's all added up to a defense that right now is pretty average. It's pretty average, and we're not used to that here in the Bay.
Real quick, Sonny, it's kind of funny, right? When the schedule comes out, and I'm just you know, I'm part of the Patriots. I'm a player. I'm a coach. And I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm thinking, because I'm looking at the Niners on the schedule as whole, that's an L. We're going to get beat upside the head. You know, we're rebuilding or trying to do whatever they're doing in New England. And now, all of a sudden, we're 2 days away from the game. And if I'm a Patriot fan or a player or a coach, you couldn't thank the football gods to be taking on the Niners in their current state. You say what to that?
Well,
because there's a litany of things going wrong or guys not available.
See, I look at the NFL a little bit differently. I look at it as a week-to-week thing. And
man,
the 49ers could give up 40. Probably won't. But they could also play better. They're probably going to play better against that offense. And then the question's going to become on Monday, how much credit do you give them against a team like the Patriots?
And you got Arizona coming in.
Well, or
you
go there. We don't do
that.
That's
a home game.
We take it one at a time.
Slow my Jets.
We've got to finish out this quadrant. Kevin in San Francisco. What's up, Kevin? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well.
All right. Well, as far as the Niners, you know, like the offense, I don't know exactly what's going wrong. I know they need to be doing some blocking for BP, for Brock Purdy. I think after the second game, that it looks like Brock Purdy was trying to force passes to our wide receiver that got all that money. I like the way they played against the L.A. They played pretty good. The only thing that seems like to me that's really a problem with the Niners is, besides the defensive backs, and we're talking about the defensive coordinator, who is the defensive backs coach? Who's coaching them? Okay. The other thing is, it seems like every game that we lost, there were mistakes on the offense and the defense. We cannot make mistakes. The Niners are good when we're mistake free. And it seems like lately that's all we've been doing is making mistakes out of position, drop passes, penalties. If we can play a mistake-free game, we'll win. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that call. And that's kind of – see, here's the way I look at it, believe it or not. And maybe this is because I'm not a rabid fan. I think they came out week one, beat the Jets. And they probably benefited a little bit because the Jets were playing with Aaron Rodgers, playing his first game, et cetera, on the road Monday night. You beat them. Beat them nice. Good win. Minnesota was different, obviously. Minnesota, you got beat by Minnesota. You did. And the score was the score, but I think everybody would acknowledge that the Vikings deserved to win that game.
All right.
I really am looking at the Rams game, at least at this point, as it was an outlier. It was an outlier.
In what way?
They got up and they didn't make a play or two that would have changed that game. And I think that during the course of an NFL season, every team loses a game like that. Bad teams lose a few games like that. But I am willing to say in that game, look, they blew a lead. They got beat on penalties. They got beat on big plays. They missed a field goal. It added up to a loss, and it was a little fluky.
But as far as I'm concerned. But a team as decimated as the Rams were, and you make a lot of good points.
I'm just saying.
But the one constant, and I know we're up against it, Stoney, that's bothering me is the offense and what we like, and Brock Purdy this and Brock Purdy that. He's been stellar. They've had the ball two consecutive games, and in money time, even if they kind of, you know, started, got off to a good start and came back to the pack, they could not score.
Well,
and the other teams were able.
That's where.
Like, is that just a trend or is that an anomaly?
That's where, to me, I look at it just like the Philadelphia Eagles. They have a game won. They make a call. Saquon Barkley drops the ball. They lose.
Okay.
The San Francisco 49ers throw a ball to Ronnie Bell right in his hands. He drops it. They lose.
Okay, but as a whole, in week one, last thing, six field goals. We thought that was cute. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, but I don't look back.
Is there
on that.
Something
that
glaring?
No, I don't think so. That's what I'm
six
saying.
You had to settle.
Well, first of all, two of them were over 50 yards. What's coming up on the game?
Which is the new 30.
Presented by, well, apparently not. The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. Stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com.